Today on the Pastor's Study, we begin our study today by asking the following question. Can I get some help in the Bible for depression? Can I get some help in the Bible for depression? And of course, the answer to that question is yes. And that's what we'll be discussing on the Pastor's Study today, is getting help for depression from the Word of God. Believe it or not, most times depression is a choice. By that we mean that a person chooses to get depressed or stay depressed. Therefore, they can choose to quit feeling depressed. For the most part, people do not want to accept the responsibility for their own depression. So they end up blaming circumstances or others for their feelings. Thus, they think there is no scriptural help for them. Consequently, they rarely start feeling better until they get on some kind of medicine or start seeing a therapist. We don't intend to minimize clinical depression. In fact, there are times when people are so overwhelmed with chemical imbalances that they cannot shake the depression without some sort of medical assistance. But for most people, drugs and therapy are unnecessary. They simply need to believe what the Bible says and do something about the problem. Now, we want to turn our attention and first look at some common causes for depression as found in the Word of God. First of all, number one is fear. And a good example of that is Elijah's horrible fit of depression was brought on him by the fear of Jezebel's threat to kill him in 1 Kings chapter 19. Maybe you remember the story in the Word of God and how Elijah, who had just achieved a great victory against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he had called fire down from heaven, amen, to consume the sacrifice, where the prophets of Baal failed, amen, because the God that Elijah called upon was the only true God. But then we soon after that great victory, what happens? Jezebel hears how what Elijah had done to the prophets of Baal and threatens to kill him. And of course, he runs for his life. That's his fear, amen, fear that was brought on by Jezebel's threat to kill him. So fear is a cause of depression, as we find in the Word of God. Another cause of fear, as found in the Word of God, is guilt or shame. In other words, feelings of guilt and shame over sins can cause people to feel depressed. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 first. Romans chapter 6 with me. And once you get to Romans chapter 6, we want to look at verse 21. Romans 6, verse number 21. For what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And of course, here Paul is talking about sin. Amen. And he says, what fruit are ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He's showing how people are ashamed of sin. And for the end of sin, we know, is death. Because the last verse of that chapter 6, Romans 6, says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The fruit of sin, amen, we see is death, but it's also people are ashamed, amen, with feelings of guilt for their sin. Look also in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, with me, in verses 61 to 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was depressed. And why was that? Because as the Lord had predicted, Peter denied him. Amen. And he was sorrowful. He was depressed over his sin. He felt guilty. He felt shame. So we see another cause of depression, as found in the Word of God, is guilt or shame. A third one would be pride. Now, people commonly set their expectations higher than they can achieve, and then beat themselves up for failing to meet their expectations. This is a common problem with perfectionists. And of course, the root of their problem is pride. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And in Proverbs chapter 16, we want to look at together verse number 18 of Proverbs 16. We read, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen? Pride. Pride goeth before destruction. If you're prideful about something, the Word of God says, that goes before destruction. Amen. The end result's going to be destruction because of that pride. And a haughty spirit. That's the kind of spirit that pride develops in one. Haughty. You know, someone like you think of someone sticking their nose in, up in the air. Amen. They're prideful. Then look with me also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now what Paul is saying here is there are some folks, as again we're saying, that one of the causes of depression found in the Word of God is pride. Now what Paul is saying here is this. There are some people that think they're above, that it would never happen to them, amen, that they wouldn't commit that particular sin or they wouldn't do that particular thing because they're above it. But Paul warns here, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, in other words, that he's above it, that it wouldn't happen to him, take heed. You know, Paul's warning individuals like that, because if they don't look out, they're going to fall, amen. So we see a third cause of depression is pride. The fourth one is lust. You see, many people get terribly depressed when they can't have something that they want. And a good example of that is King Ahab over there in 1 Kings, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 21. And maybe you remember the story how King Ahab wanted this certain vineyard. Amen. He wanted this vineyard that belonged to this man, Naboth. And of course, Naboth refused to sell it to him. And he was very upset. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He was depressed because he wanted something and he couldn't have it. Have it, amen. And, of course, later on in the story, we see how his wicked wife, Jezebel, schemes to get it for him by having Naboth wrongly accused and put to death. Now, there's another, so the fourth cause of depression is found in the Word of God is lust. The fifth one would be bitterness and anger. Bitterness and anger. Now, these sins of bitterness and anger consume a lot of mental and emotional energy, leaving the individual very depressed. Now, notice what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 with me, if you would. In Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we want to look at verses 15, 16, and 17. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, begin reading in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And of course, remember the story, he was very bitter and angry against his brother Jacob, amen, who had tricked him out of his birthright, amen. Now we see, and then we see, as we're instructed here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, that root of bitterness can defile you, amen, can cause you trouble, amen. So we see bitterness and anger can obviously lead to depression. One last of things we find in the Bible that causes depression, number six, is loneliness. There's nothing like feeling that you are all alone to brighten up your day, is there? Well, there was one such a man, and that was Elijah. We saw that he was depressed, amen, there in chapter 19, over Jezebel's threat to kill him. But look at also, he felt like he was the only one. And I think sometimes as Bible believers, sometimes we feel like we're the only one. There's no one else living for the Lord or trying to do what's right anymore, amen? We read in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10. He says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. See, Elijah felt he was the only one left, you know, of the children of Israel that was trying to do right by God. And he says, now they're trying to kill me. You know, this thing of loneliness, in other words, the idea is you get the idea that no one understands and no one cares. Amen. So that feeling of loneliness is a cause of depression. There are other reasons for depression, but the ones we've listed here, fear, guilt, and shame, pride, lust, bitterness, anger, loneliness. These are some of the main ones. And you can see why they are so difficult to deal with, because people generally are unwilling to admit that they have any of these problems. But if you search deeply enough, you will find one or more of these at the root of that individual's depression. So what can we do about this problem? Well, the Bible has many good remedies. Not only does it show us, amen, the root of depression, but it also gives you the remedies. Let's look at some of the remedies. Number one, fear God. When you fear men or the consequences of your actions, you are actually paralyzed into idleness. In other words, you can't function normally. But when you fear God, you have confidence and power. Let's first turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And in Proverbs chapter 14, let's look at verses 26 and 27 together. Proverbs 14. Listen to what the Word of God says. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. See that? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So if you have a fear of the Lord, you will have strong confidence. You won't be depressed. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So we see here that the fear of God, when you fear God, you have confidence and power. Amen. You won't feel depressed. Amen. When you fear men or the consequences of your actions, amen, you're actually paralyzed in idleness. But now we see from the Word of God, if you fear the Lord, you can have not just confidence, but strong confidence. The fear of the Lord also is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. See, that's what death does, or fear does. It snares you. It traps you. Amen. Let's look also in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Notice. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that spirit of fear is not from God. Amen. Either you're creating it, or you're allowing the devil to create it. Amen. But it's not of God, because he's not given us a spirit of fear, although we're to fear him. But he's given, what, a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, when you only fear God and you don't fear man, you won't get depressed. You won't be afraid. Amen. See? When you know what's right with God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, even though people may mess with you, you have nothing to fear. Amen. Another remedy for depression is not only fear God, but forget the past. You can have a terrible time, can you not, with regret over your past sins and failures. And you cannot erase those. You can only leave them in the past and move on. And that's what the Apostle Paul learned. Amen. Listen to what he had to say about forgetting the past, you know, going on, moving onward. Look at Philippians chapter 3. And he wrote these in prison. Amen. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing. Amen. He's apprehended but this one thing. forgetting those things which are behind. Things that have already happened, things that have already taken place. You know, they could be past sins, past regrets, past failures. Putting those behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are where? Before. See, going forward. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. See, he's instructing us, and he's done it himself. Putting those things which are behind, and he's pressing forward. He's forgetting. He's putting past failures, past sins, past regrets, whatever it is that's happened in the past behind him, and he's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he's pressing forward. Amen. You see, God has washed and sanctified and justified you and given you a new life. See? That's what the Word of God says. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, listen to verse 11. He says, in such were some of you. That's what he's saying here to the believers at Corinth. And some of them, before they were saved, were involved in these kind of things. He says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See? God has washed, sanctified, and justified you and given you a new life. What more could you possibly want? Amen? A clear account with men? That will never happen. The world, you see, loves to find fault with you and me, do they not? Look at in 1 Peter. 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verses 13 through 17. Notice what it says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Peter says, the world basically loves to find fault with you and I as Christians, even when we're doing right. Amen. But Peter says, in spite of that, keep doing right. Have a good conscience. Because they're going to be ashamed, those that speak evil for you that don't have any basis for that. Amen. But the thing to remember is, as we're looking at some of the remedies of depression, forget the past. Remember, forget past sin. Remember, you're a new creature in Christ. Amen. You have a new start. You have a new beginning. Whatever sin you've committed in the past, it's been forgiven and it's under the blood. Don't let the devil keep beating you over the head with it. Amen. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Your salvation is instantaneously, amen, the instant you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that sanctification, that separation process from the things of the world and living for God, the Holy Spirit works on you. It takes time if you let the Holy Spirit work. But the thing to remember, the past is past. You can't change it. Amen. But now you have a new life in Jesus Christ. A brand new. Amen. See? So, forget those things that are in the past. Be it sins you've committed, failures or regrets. You can't change it. Amen. But if you dwell on it and you dwell on it, you're going to get depressed. Amen. Remember that. So forget the past. Remember, you've been washed, you've been justified. Amen. You've been sanctified and you've been given a new life in Jesus Christ. So those things that happened in the past are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. And remember, you know, people are going to find fault with you, even when you're doing right. Amen. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? They found fault with him. They put him to death. And he didn't do anything wrong. He was guiltless. So, just remember that. Let the past be in the past. Amen. Don't take it forward. Leave it behind. Amen. Don't take that baggage with you. That's why a lot of people and even Christians are depressed. Because they're carrying things around that have happened in the past that they can't change. Amen. But you've been given a new opportunity, a new life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're not going to do it right 100%. Amen. And God knows that. But he's died for your sins, past, present, and future. Amen. If you stumble, you fall, get up. Ask for his forgiveness. He'll give it. And then get back on your feet and get in the race and continue to live for God. Amen. So we see then a couple of things as we're coming to a close as remedies for depression is the fear of God and forget the past. We have some others that we want to discuss next time when we come together on the pastor's study. And until we meet again on the pastor's study, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank you for joining me today on the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you listening today, and good day.